Welcome to another podcast interview. No fluff, no filler, just the very best interviews guaranteed to make you money, money, money. Time to plug in. This podcast is sponsored by Melbourne SEO Services, getting you and your business found online. Visit www.melbourneseoservices.com.
Hi, David Jennings here from MelbourneSEOServices.com and PodcastInterviews.com. And I've got a fantastic interview lined up for you today with an entrepreneur that I think you're going to find really fascinating. His name's Troy Broussard, and you can find out more about him over at TopMarketingStrategies.com. But I think why you're going to find him so interesting is his varied past. He's got such a rich entrepreneurial background, having worked in many different businesses and in many different fields. I'm not even too sure where to start, really. I know he started off in the army, but then moved into being a programmer and developer, and even got involved with Encyclopedia Britannica when the craziness of, you know, the .com and everybody was listing IPOs. Then he even took a mini retirement, moved down to Brazil, started a family, got involved in a family business, which was to do with construction, and built it up into a really successful business. Got caught up in the 2008 property bubble when everything burst and he lost everything. It was almost like hitting the reset button and then having to start again. He was kind of like in that point when the whole bubble burst and just watching it all fade away. He kind of had everything. He'll probably tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. But it's kind of like hitting the reset button at age 39 and going, all right, I'm going to start again now and I'm going to build my business differently. I'm going to build it the way that I want to have it built. And he's really taken on this almost like a lifestyle entrepreneur where he's got now multiple houses, he travels lots, he speaks lots, he's very well connected and built up some really fantastic businesses, mainly to do in the online space. He had his articles on tap and now he's kind of diversified into some more content services and SEO services. So suffice to say, I'm excited to get him on the line so he can tell us a little bit more about his story. Let me just welcome Troy to line. Troy, thanks for making the time.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Dave, for sure.
So with that varied background that I mentioned, like I said, I'm not really too sure where to start. I'm thinking probably the best thing to do is if we go back to when you hit that reset button at age 39, because that's really when you started doing a lot more of the online marketing side of things and you built up articles on tap. So just as by way of introduction, I don't know if you can take us back to the start and tell us a little bit about that business, how it got going, and I think that'll kind of build us up to where we are today.
Sure, absolutely. So yeah, I'd been around a block a couple of times, and you know what? I think it's a good thing. I think it gives us a wide, diversified approach to how to be successful in business. And I think that when we get too narrowed in one area, sometimes it hurts us. So yeah, I've done quite a few different things. And when everything fell apart in 2008 and 2009, it really kind of put the dampers on where I was going. And I realized that it was time to really define my life and the business to fit my life instead. And so I, you know, went back to really to square one, and I had to start somewhere. So you mentioned articles on tap, and our other primary site now is topmarketingstrategies.com. But we also, articles on tap is one of the first sites that we ever created, my business partner, Mike, and myself. And that came out of the same thing that I teach in coaching with my clients today, and that is a skills assessment, right? I found myself with absolutely nothing. I had sold off everything, and I had a pretty nice eight-figure business going in real estate before all this crash. So when I say everything, I mean, there went the plane, there went the Caddy, there went the Harley Davidson, there went the other homes. I mean, it was all gone, and retirement was all gone. Everything was gone. And so I literally went from that to, you know, living down in Brazil. My ex was Brazilian, and my two children with her are Brazilian as well. And I'm remarried now, so it's a fast forwarding a little bit with a new little daughter. So, but at that time, it was in order for me to be close to my children, I needed to move down to Brazil. And that meant starting out down in another country. I spoke fluent Portuguese, still speak fluent Portuguese, but creating an income down there in a foreign third world country was not going to be sufficient enough for what I needed to do. And so clearly it was, you know, something that I had to build on the fly, and I had to come up with a made make it work. And what I fell back onto was some of my skills that I had, which I grew up playing piano from a young age, and so I typed very quickly. And because of my diverse background, I knew a lot of different topics. I was very comfortable talking on many topics, and so I just translated that into writing. And I turned it into, you know, article writing. And honestly, that's how I, you know, reinvented myself. I started out just working for others and selling my soul for the lowest bidder. You know, and really, I mean, living in a little tiny apartment, I couldn't afford a car, and moved close to my ex to be close to the kids. But I would just sit there and crank out articles and, you know, make money from that, picking up Craigslist jobs and things like that, enough to pay the bills and keep the kids in school and all that good stuff. And then I just gradually grew that out. So we started really as content services. I went from doing all the content myself to then gradually hiring somebody that began to write and edit articles. And then I would just review. And then we just grew the team and continued, you know, that process. In fact, that very first employee in the business is still with me today. Employee number one is still with us, you know, 4.5 years later. So it's a neat process. And we just turned that into a content services business, which became Articles on Tap, and then later led into SEO services as well.
Sort of that bridge, when you first started doing articles, was it for the purpose of the content creation, or was it for SEO purposes, you know, syndication, or a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B?
A little bit of A and B, but in those days it was mostly more about SEO grade stuff, right? It was people just cranking out content for the purposes of you know, doing it. I mean, back in the days that, you know, content was king and you could do things a lot differently than you could today. And so I did a lot of that, but a lot of it was like blogging contracts and stuff as well. So, which is still very popular and actually a very big portion of our business today, still providing curation services and blogging content and authority articles. Content and review content for affiliate marketers promoting reviews and things to that nature. So it's still a very big part of our business, but it was a little of both, and it's kind of always remained a little of both. But I've never been a copywriter, so I don't, you know, do sales copy or anything like that, and I don't do really any writing today. that's a little bit beyond, but it's certainly how I got my start for sure.
And I suppose when you sort of started to introduce those SEO services, like you said, that kind of rolled into it. I know SEO as an opportunity sort of started to rise. And when SEO first sort of came about and people started to get to know about it, there was a huge window of opportunity. You could jump in, you could use some different strategies, and it was very quick and easy to get certain keywords and things ranking. Now, that's kind of, we've definitely seen some changes in the industry. I'm just wondering how, you know, that's starting to evolve for you and the services that you provide. Because, I mean, you weren't doing articles and content writing solely for SEO, which is good. It was also for content creation purposes. But how's that sort of changed? Do you still see SEO as having a big window of opportunity?
You know, I do. If you are kind of broad in your definition of SEO, I think that if you really look at SEO at its core, then yes, I think that SEO has still great potential and great possibilities. The problem is that over the past few years, SEO has been really corrupted to equal link building. SEO equals link building. And that, I think, was a misconception and a skew in the marketplace for several years. And it was, you know, really Google's fault, right? I mean, they rewarded the links in a way that really skewed the whole purpose of SEO into just a link building contest. And so while I think definition of SEO really fundamentally hasn't changed, maybe the way people are doing it has changed, but honestly, those that have been really successful have been doing it very similar all along, right? I think that people that really get it, that really understand that SEO is not the end game, it's a strategy in your business. I think that that is probably the biggest differentiation between myself and my business partner, our business in the marketplace, what allowed us to create a seven-figure business in just our first, 22 months online with a tiny list. We had like 2,700 people on our list at that point. And we did it because we had this core understanding of business much more so than marketing. Right. I think that there's this misconception in the marketplace that you have to have, hundreds of thousands of people on your list to have a very successful business. And I got to tell you that if you just pay attention to the people that are on your list and really find ways to serve them and find ways to provide value to them and are not afraid to ask for the prices that you're worth and provide that value and get people results, you can have a hugely successful business with a very small list. And so that is probably one of the core differentiators, I think, in the way that we approach SEO is we look at SEO as being one strategy, one thread of our business and not the business itself, right?
Yeah. And I think that must come from your business background. And I think a lot of people are starting to recognize that where they've built up businesses that are solely surviving and living and dying based on the traffic that they're getting from Google. And then when we saw a lot of different changes with, some of the updates, Penguin and Panda, a lot of those businesses where that single source of traffic, disappeared, so too did their business. And that really started to sort, I suppose, the men from the boys, those who'd actually built real businesses that had other legs to stand on rather than this sort of central pillar. So, I mean, when you talk about SEO then being an important part or one of the pieces of the puzzle, and I think you talked about the another important part is obviously having that relationship and the dialogue going on with your clients to find out what it was that they needed to serve it. Are there other pieces to this puzzle when you think business? What kind of areas do you think about?
Yeah, well, the first thing today is that I think the tides have shifted, right? I think we have to acknowledge that. We can't just pretend that everything's the same. It used to be that throwing up a very quick and economical site and doing some link building was one of the quickest ways to get into business, right, with SEO. And today, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, it still can be. There's a lot of short-term tactical approaches with EMDs and such that are still very effective today. We've still, got lots of affiliate sites doing that. However, I think that the mindset has to be different. I think that you have to be able to prove your business model first. And I really take that approach. I think if you can build around paid traffic first, and you know that you can put up a solution that you can bring cold traffic and convert through a paid funnel, if you can do that first, you know you have a business model. If your business solely relies on people stumbling into your site on Google, then to me, that isn't a business, right? That's kind of like throwing up a deli in the middle of the street and not really recognizing that you're in an area that just, it's not going to ever work. I think you have to acknowledge the climate that we're in. And I believe that traffic has to be looked at very differently. I think the people that really struggled with SEO and are failing in SEO today really need to step back and just look and understand that SEO is just one form of traffic. There are dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds of forms of traffic out there, right, that you can go after. And I think that you have to build your business up where you have a diversified traffic source. And, I kind of look at it as like your hand. If you stick your hand up, you've got a thumb and four fingers. Now, you can have one dominant traffic source, and everybody normally does. We all evolve to a certain affinity of traffic that works best for us, whether it's SEO, whether it's AdWords traffic or et cetera. There's always tends to be one that's kind of our dominant traffic source. But then you need those other four. you need some diversification. You need to have traffic coming in from other sources as well, whether that's strong JV or whether that's a really strong referral process or understanding how to acquire some other paid traffic funnels and sources. I really look at it as the hand analogy because, you know, if you've just got one thumb, it's not very easy to drink a margarita with one thumb, right? So if you've got a thumb and one finger, you can make it work. If you got that one other source, you can make it work. But if you lose the thumb, now you're back to just a finger. And what are you going to do? And so I think that that's kind of analogy to business of understanding that you need to acquire clients from a variety of sources. And ultimately, you need to be able to buy your clients. I mean, that is the ultimate accomplishment and definition of a business. If you cannot afford to advertise and to buy your clients, then you truly don't have a business in, you know, most anybody's mind when you really look at it. I think that there's lots of people that have kind of coined that phrase. I know Jay Abrams talked about it. I know Rick Sheffrin has. I know others have. But Dan Kennedy said the same thing. If you can't buy your customers, you really don't have a business. And I think that's the fundamental core of it. So today, I still love SEO, but SEO is not our core of where what determines whether our business is successful or not. If we had to just rely on SEO traffic, then you know we probably would have gone the way of many others. But I have always gone this diversified route. We have podcasting traffic that we bring in with a popular podcast in iTunes, our Top Marketing Strategies podcast and business and marketing section. We have I do interviews. I do a lot of guest speaking. I do a lot of presentations. And then we get a very high value out of our customers through our back end and through our retention of our customers. So we have various continuity programs that we've had people on for 3.5 years where, you know, what is our average lifetime value? Well, I don't know. It's the program's only been 3.5 years and so we've got people that have been there since day one. So I think that it's people have to realize it's not just about traffic. It's about what you do with it when you've got it. How well do you convert it? And how much do you extract from the lifetime value of that traffic as well?
Mm. So when you go through and thinking about setting up a particular business, you first make sure that, hey, we've got a really good offer here that we think we can drive traffic to paid traffic and be able to convert it. And then you sort of start to, once you prove that model works, then is that when you sort of start to look to diversify through these other traffic sources? You kind of get proof of concept and then you kind of double down and go, hey, all right, let's now drive a whole lot of very different lot of traffic sources and then sort of cherry pick out the ones that are working best for that particular business. What's the thought process there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a former software developer and programmer, so I started programming in machine language to give you an idea how far back that goes. So when it comes to programming, I've done everything through that, through C++, so the whole gamut. And a programmer, I believe in rapid prototyping. I believe in failing quickly. Right, which is kind of an odd concept when you're talking about business growth and success to talk about failing quickly. But I think it's absolutely a vital concept. You have to be able to prove, or which is going to be more often the case, disprove your theory very, very quickly. And so one of the things that I do with my coaching clients is really the first kind of couple of interactions, it's all about finding out what they're doing. And many times they're going way down the rabbit hole before they even know if they can sell something. Right. And so, you know, the first trick is just go sell it. Can you get one client for your service, your idea, for your product? Can you even get that first? Now, if you got to discount it, if you got to do this, if you got to do that, whatever it is that you've got to do to actually prove that there's a marketplace around that, that's your very first step. Before you go and try to make everything perfect, before you try to go to build out all the systems and everything else, it's so easy to prove concepts. And I think that that's one of the things that people really miss is, you know, making sure that they have a valid concept before they ever get started. And that's, I think, probably the biggest mistake we can make, because if you waste 6 months worth of time developing out a site, building out a site, building out a product or a service, thinking that it's going to sell and then can't make it work, in internet years, 6 months is like, you know, what, 3 years in the real world. You know, I mean, you've really hurt yourself by going down a rabbit hole for 6 months with no outcome. And I think that, you know, Dave, I know you've been around long enough to know you've had many ideas you thought were going to turn out great and just didn't pan out. And, you know, so I think that that's the most vital, important first step is prove the concept, then stabilize it, and then grow it and scale it. So, you know, pretty standard three-step process to me.
Which I think the rate of change that we're seeing now with different disruptive technologies, it just means that you need to prove that concept very quickly. I mean, previously when a new disruptive technology got launched, like, you know, the light globe or the telephone, the years in between when those disruptive technologies were launched is quite a large distance. Whereas now you kind of, you know, you're seeing these disruptive technologies, you know, the internet, iPod, all the mobile computing, tablet type stuff, and the distance at which these technologies are getting released is just getting tighter and tighter and tighter and shorter time span. So if you start working on a project and you know, you're investing 6 months, 12 months, even longer before you actually take it to market, who knows, you know, where the market could be at that point in time when you finally take it to market. Maybe you're bringing something out that at that point becomes redundant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the things that in the SEO niche that I really believe is probably one of the, I don't know, the common mistakes or really kind of the common career killers, honestly, is that so many people are so technically proficient in internet marketing and SEO and have invested so much time and developing their skills in that area and then feel like the rug's been pulled out from beneath them. But the reality is that I think it's the biggest opportunity right now for people that recognize the opportunity in front of them. And that is, there's so many people that have been caught up in this SEO for IM game, when the reality is, if you step back and realize all the skills that you've acquired during that process, you're probably able to tenfold your income by taking those skills outside of the internet marketing arena and taking them into the real business world. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things on the table right now. You know, it's in internet marketing, we think in $27 sales, and in my coaching and mastermind, it's a $30,000 mastermind program. And I've got to tell you that it's an, you know, the first 30K mastermind I sold was in 15 minutes to the first, and it was the first engagement that I had with that person. And it was such tremendous value to their particular situation and what we could do for them that it was much easier of a sell than selling a $27 ebook. And I think people really have to kind of step out of that limiting mindset, a belief that, you know, that SEO and IM is all within that circle and that environment. If you really step out of that and step into applying that into the business world, I think that many people have far more success in that arena.
Along those lines, I mean, some of these changes that caused people to think that, because I know you know the SEO industry quite well. When we think about SEO, how are you looking at SEO these days? I mean, has Google's recent updates changed the way that you look at it, or is it sort of back to basics?
I think that, you know, if this is the analogy that I would give in terms of how SEO has changed over the past couple years. If we look at it a couple years ago, I think it was about using link building to manipulate your rankings to acquire traffic and kind of manipulate people into coming to your site through the rankings, right? And I think if we look at how that's evolved today, my personal belief is that SEO today is much more about using, instead of trying to force everybody to come to you, about you having your message present in a variety of channels and taking that message to them and engaging your client where they are, meeting them on their terms, and then, you know, bringing them back to your site over time. But as an example, I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, we would just kill it going after rankings on competitive keywords and all kinds of tactical type stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, we were totally dependent on that. If today instead we take our message and we create a really cool podcast around that message, and we create a really a cool YouTube channel around that, and we go out and create and some of the Audible sites and some of the PDF share sites and all these different channels that are out there where we can connect with our target user in the medium, in the format that they want to receive the content, I think it's much more powerful, honestly. Is it a little bit different? Has it shifted? Yeah, absolutely it has. But I think that it's just as powerful today. You just have to be willing to make the shift along with the tides, right? And if you keep trying to force a square peg into a round hole, then you're probably not having very much success. But one of my coaching clients right now, he's quadrupled his business in the past year, even though his traffic has gone down by half. And he's done that through, going through and optimizing and focusing on delivering more value, looking at his price points, looking at his conversions, all of these other aspects of his business, and got out of that traffic game and instead got into the business game.
I think with watching it sort of evolve and sort of it's almost sort of morphing into a little bit more of this content syndication, and as long as it's got
absolutely
different platforms where it goes out to, as long as you've got a good core message and product that you're sending trying to get out there, SEO really happens naturally. I mean, that was the whole purpose of SEO, to get the message to a certain point where you got enough attention that SEO happened naturally, because people will link to you if you've got good quality content. So as far as sort of that as a little bit of a shift, is that kind of where you're seeing things head now? It's less about the manipulation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the packages that we sell today in our SEO services are multi-channel syndication services. That's what we call them. And so you hit the exact word on topic. It's really about getting into multiple channels, syndicating that content out. And just as you said, SEO has always really been about getting people to link to you organically. And the most effective people in SEO have always known that and have always done that. What we always taught, and in all of our courses before Panda came out, before Penguin, before all of that craziness, we taught that. And we taught people that SEO should be a phased approach, and that, phase one, your early phase in those days, not really true today, but in those days, you could jumpstart into phase one through link building to get that traffic and build up, your presence. But if you didn't have a core message, if you didn't have really good content, if you weren't providing value, if you weren't delivering results for people, if you didn't have a legitimate, real business, then it was just an exercise in futility, right? Mm-hmm. But that the goal was always to get to phase two of SEO, where it becomes more of a viral growth and natural evolution and growth through exposure, which is the way any business truly grows. So I think the reality is that because the playing field has been kind of changed in the past year or so, that it's just forcing people to really go back to the natural approach of business growth. And so while you said a very key phrase earlier in the conversation here about separating the men from the boys, I truly believe that's true. And I think it's a good thing. I think that while many people have been hurt, it's also forced others to elevate their game and embrace their business at a whole different level. And I think that that's a good thing for the industry as a whole.
Yeah, the key parts, because part of what you were teaching your guys, a lot of those fundamentals still remain, but there's also pieces that have changed. When you think of SEO, the bits that have kind of remained solid, obviously getting out good quality content, and then, the basics of SEO as you see it, choosing a keyword, assigning it to a page, putting it in the relevant places, and then obviously that's all on page, and then off page is the link building, which we're kind of doing through content syndication now. Previously there was a lot of stressing on anchor texts and making sure that you really target specific keywords. How have you kind of seen that shift as far as those fundamentals changed or remained the same?
Well, I think the fundamentals of on-site SEO are the same as they've always been. I don't really see any big changes there, other than people used to get very anal retentive about making everything perfect. And we never quite went to that extreme. So for us, nothing has really changed. We always look at on-site SEO as a fundamental thing that you have to do. If you're putting a site up there, you have to acknowledge that it's Google's world on the internet. And if you want to get any free traffic through Google, which it's not really free, but if you want to get that organic traffic, right, then you have to play by the rules. So designing your site organically with that is always the number one thing you have to do, because you want to get as much gravy traffic and gravy business as you can through rankings. When it comes to the offsite stuff, yeah, I believe it's exactly what you said. It's more of a syndication model today than it is a pure link building model. The anchor text stuff, we don't really even worry about anchor text very much at all. If we do anchor text stuff, it's really small percentages, 10-15% at most. Most of it we do branded links and what I call kind of junk links, where you're creating natural link building. You're not out there trying to manipulate the rankings, and that's what we've seen has had the most impact these days. When you go trying to tweak it and manipulate it too much, have very precise anchor text, typically you're going to start throwing off some red flags pretty quickly today. So we don't even play that game anymore, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And with this evolution, I know a lot of people are really interested in the way this has changed. And I'm wondering whether or not you see SEO as a viable solution now for still every business. Because, I mean, previously someone would come to us and I'd say, I think you will get the best, or I can guarantee you'll get the best return on your marketing dollar by putting it into SEO, because it was so predictable, and because we were using automated tools that enabled us to get some really great results. Whereas the cost of SEO now is rising. So some businesses, if they embrace SEO and they do SEO themselves, it can make sense. But I'm interested to know if you feel like SEO still makes sense for every business, or whether or not there are other methods worth looking at.
I really think that it's more of an evaluative process now than it used to be. I think I agree with you in the sense that before, I mean, it just was a brain dead, simple choice for everybody. It just made sense. It was too easy and everybody should be doing it. But in today, I think you really do have to evaluate it, because there are other things where the cost can have more ROI for you in other areas, depending on your niche, depending on your business model. If you're a local business, if you're a business that is nationwide or international like we are, it all varies. So there's no one size fits all answer, right? Which kind of brings me up to the one size fits all. I did this in my presentation in Vegas at the event I just recently had with a small group of people, and I drilled in the one size fits all really quickly. I put up an image on the screen, and it was like 25 older, overweight guys running around in a mankini, and they were all wearing the same mankini, right? Because it was the one size fits all. And I said, if you want one size fits all, that image is forever burned into your retina, right? But it's true. It just doesn't. You have to really analyze the business. I mean, as you know, it's still quite easy to dominate in local marketing for local businesses. And so, there's a different ROI for that than if you're selling, car insurance quotes. That's a really tough business to be in today. So I think that it really is dependent upon your business model. But yes, the costs have absolutely gone up. I mean, a couple of years ago, we were just killing it. We had hundreds of people on a $297 a month subscription package that was doing great results for people for $300 a month. And the reality is today we've got packages at $3,000 and above. And, do we still have some smaller stuff? A little bit, but it's getting harder to provide that same level of ROI that you used to be able to provide. So I think that it has, again, separated the men from the boys, not only on the SEO provider side, but on the client side. Because now it really is a committed client, somebody that understands that this is like placing an ad in the phone book, or the yellow pages. It's just another form of advertising, and you have to invest and you have to build it over time. And I think that it really ups the game on both sides, not only on the SEO service provider side, but on the understanding and education of the client as well.
I think... making real use, and you talked about it earlier, which I want to drill into, this making really good use of the leads and the traffic that you are getting. I think that's another big thing that's kind of popping up now. You need to, every lead that comes through, or, you know, every visitor, you want to make sure you're maximizing it, because previously you could solve just about any problem online with, hey, let's just drive more traffic at it by doing a whole lot of SEO. Whereas now, with all of these varied sources, you know, that means oftentimes you can spread yourself quite thinly. You need to kind of make the most of what you get. How do you see when a lead comes through to a business, and obviously it's going to vary from business to business, but what do you think businesses should try and do as far as maximizing those leads?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you touched on something just so vitally important here today. I mean, one of the things that I said is our success has been built upon our customer interaction, much more so than our audience building. And that's why I said I really classify myself as a business builder and not so much as a marketer, because I think marketers can be really good at building huge audiences, but a business person can really learn to get the most value from that. And when you look at your business from a business perspective and not doing technology for the sake of doing technology, right? Not playing the game because it's the newest, latest, greatest technique, but instead looking at it as, how can I provide more value to my customers? Well, then if you just start with that question, everything else becomes self-apparent. So when you ask that question, I mean, if you just come from the place of, well, how could I provide more value? Well, the first thing to provide more value, you have to understand your customer better. And so what does that require? That means more interaction. So, I mean, we do a lot of things that I think and have always done this that are really core to our business growth. I mean, when we would hold a webinar and, you know, people would ask questions and do all of that, the typical response is, you know, somebody high fives after the webinar is over about how many sales they made or whatever. We would always go through and find every single person that asked questions. And even if we answered them online, we go through and follow up with them and say, you know, hey, did we get everything covered for you? Is there any other thing that we missed? We know we're kind of rushed on the webinar and the Q&A session. And we would do that follow up with every single person that was on the webinar. And the people that weren't there, we would reach out. Those little things are huge, huge. It's the difference between a six-figure business and a seven-figure business. It's that big, because what you find from that is you turn customers into fans, right? You have, every business has a percentage of their subscriber list that buys everything they ever sell, right? They're a fan. They're somebody that they love that person. They connect with them. They resonate with their message. And so anytime they release a new product, boom, they just snap it up. Well, the difference of growing that business quickly is to really be in touch with those fans and to grow that fan base. And one of the best ways you do that is sell people what they want, but give them what they need. Right? And you can't give them what they need if you don't spend the effort to get to know them and put some time in. So, I mean, I do a lot of stuff where I'll give away free strategy sessions with me on their business, and I provide a ton of value for them. And if they decide to go forward, that's okay. And if they don't, that's okay too. It's a non-pressure kind of thing, but it allows me to get in that relationship building mode. And I think that so many people on the marketing side of the equation are more interested in the numbers in their list and the automated kind of stuff, and they lose track of that one-on-one connection. At the end of the day, we all, if we're looking to buy anything, you know, we're not looking to be sold to. We're looking to invest in something that makes sense for us. And it's hard to do that without that personal communication.
I think that's interesting to watch the way that you've developed your businesses, and particularly with articles on tap. Obviously, having that conversation with a client and then responding based on what it is that they're looking for, and then giving products and services around what they're looking for. I don't know if you can tell us a little bit about that story. I know you were doing some affiliate marketing and selling, I can't remember what the product was off the top of my head, but you were selling a particular product, and then once you kind of acquired that lead, you built up the conversation with them to find out what they want, and then you started building services all around that one product once you knew who that target market was.
Oh, sure. So we had, I think what you're referring to is perhaps when BMR first came out, Build My Rank. And is that the one you're referring to? Yeah. So, I mean, BMR came out. We were one of the early adopters of it. We reviewed it on articlesubmissionreview.com, one of our affiliate sites at the time. And it's still up there today. It's kind of out of date at this point. But we had reviewed Build My Rank, and we saw it growing. We quickly became the number one affiliate for them in the whole time that they were out there, and had hundreds of people on subscription with them. And as that grew, you know, we just grew around that need. We were always willing to be flexible. We always adapted. We didn't kind of define what the vision was. We let the we rode the momentum, and we, you know, went where that went. So as we saw people getting this, we created a whole, you know, sets of content for them. And then we actually formed a partnership at one point where we were supplying all of the content, or not all of it, but a big percentage of it, to BMR through Articles on Tap on Contract for a while. And then, you know, John went his way and did it himself for a while too, but we had done that as well. So, I mean, we looked at it at all different levels of, you know, how can we see the tide that's the tidal wave that's coming? How can we get out in front of it? How can we serve these people? And then what we found is that, you know, clearly if somebody's buying links through BMR and the content and that around it, that's not what they want. Right? They don't want to go be buying content. They don't want to be buying links. And they don't really want to rank number one in Google either, to be quite honest, right? What they really want is the benefit of the benefit. They want the value of that ranking. They want the expectation that comes along with it. And what we found is that many times they had a lot of false expectations. And so Mike and I became really well known in the industry in a small way. I mean, we never had a huge audience, but we really resonated with people because we didn't BS them. We didn't try to steer them into short-term tactical stuff. We were very strategic from the beginning and talked about, you know, what SEO's role was and how to do things effectively. And we were candid about it. We were very candid about having realistic expectations. And while that disqualified a lot of people, which was fine with us, the people that it resonated with just bonded with us and created a great following. And we just continued to provide more and more services and value. So it led into SEO services. It led into expanded content services. It led into us providing the content for BMR. It led into us creating automation systems for bonus and fulfillment. So instead of people giving away like digital products for bonuses, we would give away free content for bonus. That actually cost us money. And we would do that to as a form of lead gen, really, through the affiliate side. And then we would bring them into our other services. And that led to, you know, talking with clients more, led to the creation of our coaching, our insiders club, and our coaching memberships, and other services and products that we created, like building authority sites and all these other things. It all came from, you know, really engaging with those clients and asking them the simple question of what can we do to make this process for you easier.
It sounds like you've got or have had over the time quite a few different moving parts. And as yeah. you kind of leveled up, as you've started to build the audience, learn more about sort of the business and also what the audience actually wants, kind of where are you shifting to now? I mean, we were talking about this wave and riding the wave. Have you kind of spotted where you think things are headed as far as both the industry, but then also how you're wanting to position yourself as the industry starts to evolve?
Yeah, it's really kind of a two-channel approach that we're taking right now. So there's, you know, myself and my business partner, Mike, and the two of us are the Mike and Troy's brand behind all of this. So we're 50-50 co-owners and everything. And we really treat the company as a single company with two divisions at this point, to be quite honest. I mean, Mike handles all of our content services and SEO and all of that kind of management that's kind of behind the scenes management of the business. And I really handle the whole other side of a business, which I really love. Mike and I are complete opposites. I mean, complete opposites. We fight like an old married couple. I mean, it's pretty hilarious. But the stuff that he loves, I absolutely loathe. And the stuff that, you know, he hates, I like. So it works out really, really well. He handles a lot of the back end and the management and manages all of our resources and people that work for us in several different countries, that from content and link builders and all these different things going on. He handles all of that. And then what I handle is all of the coaching and product creation and training and all of that, which both of those are very strong businesses in and of themselves. So I'm one of these guys, man, that if I've solved a puzzle once, I don't ever care to see it again. I get bored really quickly. And I have done a lot of stuff in my background. And so I'm kind of a digital jack of all trades, right? I'm kind of the virtual jack of all trades, like the handy home fixer-upper guy that go around and do all these projects. Well, what I enjoy now is doing that in a coaching standpoint. And that's really what I focus on, is business growth with, you know, businesses that are six-figure businesses going to seven-figure businesses, or seven-figure businesses going to eight-figure businesses. And it comes from a position of experience and not a position of BS, which unfortunately a lot in the industry that is, right? But I've done this multiple times in my career in multiple industries, offline, online. And so what I really get a thrill out of is getting on the phone with somebody, you know, examining their business and just narrowing in on it with laser focus, the area that we can just boom, focus on quickly and get quick results and scale that business, whether that means different traffic sources, whether it means working on their lead generation or the conversions or their site or AdWords or whatever it is. I've done all of that at one point or another. So now I pull upon my own resources and find the best way to make that business scale quicker. And that's what I really enjoy doing. So I'm doing a lot in my mastermind. I'm doing a lot with my group coaching as well. And, you know, that's is something that is, to me, probably the most powerful thing. Because at the end of the day, we don't want more information. The information age is dead. Anything that I can teach somebody, they can get for free. The difference is, how long are they going to spend looking for it? And when they find it, are they going to know if they actually found what is worth listening to, or something that worked 3 years ago, or something that's going to steer them down the wrong direction, etc.? So it's not about information anymore. It's about having a trusted advisor, somebody that can get you across the finish line that much quicker. And that's what I enjoy doing. So it's kind of the same thing over and over again, but it's different in every case, because every client that I work with has a unique situation. And for one, it may be a video solution. For another, it may be an AdWords solution. For a third, it may be site design and conversions, or et cetera. So that's kind of where the Mike and Troy's brand is going right now. It's kind of in those two directions. On Mike's side, on the SEO side and content services, it's really much more about content services now, and, you know, multi-channel marketing. That's really what we're focused on. And I see that, you know, not going away, right? People are always going to need content. They're always going to need to enhance their presence online, whether that's e-commerce sites needing, you know, better content for the descriptions, or adding a blog, or adding a curated content service into the mix, or whatever it is that those needs are. The content side is what we're really focusing more on that side of the business.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about, you know, having two parts and your two people in the business, at the top of the business, who complement each other. If you look at, you know, Jim Collins's Good to Great, that was one thing that he singled out, as you've got one person who's kind of like really in the business operationally, which it sounds like that's what Mike's skill set is as far as running the team and things like that. Whereas you kind of, I think, can look forward and see the direction things are heading. And I think that kind of makes sense as to why you're kind of falling into that business growth area. And I feel like that's where I'm seeing the evolution of, I don't know if it's our industry or whether or not it's just the evolution of as you sort of start to grow businesses. But when you look at online, there's probably, you know, hundreds of different things that you could be doing. But typically speaking, there's, you know, two or three things that are going to give you the biggest bang for your buck right now.
Yeah.
And having the skill to be able to identify those, which really only comes from growing businesses and getting the runs on the board, understanding the way that business works, and then it makes it easier to target and identify which of those things are going to be the biggest leverage points.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reality is there's not that many leverage points. I mean, there's only a few different levers that you can really pull in any business in order to affect the bottom line. So it's not, I think that when people try to make things sound so complicated, it really isn't. But what happens is we can't see the forest for the trees sometimes when we're running our own business. And sometimes we need that outside influence. And I think as well as the outside set of eyes, it's giving a new perspective and finding that area that can just quickly ramp things up that makes all the difference. Because today it's about speed. It's about speed to market. It's about speed into profits, right? It's about growing quickly with good cash flow so that you can then afford to expand your marketing and your advertising and your traffic sources and buy your clients. You do that with cash flow, and you get the cash flow by finding that 80-20, finding that 20% that's going to have the 80% impact on your business and making those changes quickly. And so that's really what just gets me going. It's just fun for me. And you said experience, and I got to tell you, I take that word very, very humbly, because when I say experience, listen, experience just means you screwed a whole bunch of stuff up and you've lived and survived.
it nicely. It's experience.
Yeah, it's experience. It just means you failed a whole hell of a lot of times and you got up one more time and you got knocked down. So, hey, it's not an arrogant thing at all. Experience is just about putting your time in sometimes. And I think that, you know, you have to have that process. I wouldn't trade any of my failures for anything. And I've been, as you know, my background, I mean, I've been dead broke twice in my life and had to start completely over from scratch. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade that for anything. And I've built multiple 7- and 1 8-figure business. So, I mean, I've had the highs and the lows, and I wouldn't trade the lows for anything, because they make us respect the process and they give us the confidence to do it again. And so I think that you have to reach down and pull yourself up, right? Because that's what gives you the ability to do it again and again.
It's interesting to see the way people kind of build business, and when they work in a particular business at a certain level and a certain size, they learn the internals of that business and what makes it work at that particular size. So sometimes you might see an entrepreneur, if they've worked in a really big organization and then they go out and try and do their own thing, they struggle with the startup component, because, you know, it's foreign and unfamiliar, but they know the map of what this bigger business looks like when it's more complete. They don't necessarily know how to get there, so they're over starting out this new startup. Once they get through that startup phase, oftentimes you'll see their business just grow at lightning pace after they get through that first phase, because they know and understand that middle bit. And then there are other people who have always worked with startups, and you know, they can very quickly grow a business through to a certain level, but then they start to get stuck because all they've really known is that startup phase. And I think, I mean, it's what I find interesting about your story is, because you've had that rags to riches multiple times, you've gone through those different phases and understand what it takes to grow the business through to that next bit. So that way, when you had the reset button at 39, you were able to obviously build the next 7-figure business much, much quicker, because you knew what the map looked like, or you knew what the finished product looked like, and you could get there quicker. I don't know if you had any insights on that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's different skill sets, and I think that what it takes to build a 6-figure business from zero is very different than what it takes to take a business from 6 figures to 7, and that's very different than taking a business from 7 to 8. And of course, niches will affect those statements, but in general, those are three very different skill sets. You know, the do it all yourself and be able to just make it happen kind of guy is the 6-figure guy. the guy that can understand that he's got to now start to let go of everything he's learned and to delegate and to surround himself with a good team is the guy that can take it to seven figures. And then to go beyond that, you've got to develop a whole different skill set. And that's actually finding the managers, finding the people that are just key assets and resources that you can trust to run entire groups of people and below you so that you can, you know, step away at a whole different level. And so, yeah, it's really three different skill sets. And some people really struggle with that. And they say, well, if I built this thing up to this point, why can't I take it to that next level, right? But it's a different skill set many times. And so you can't necessarily just beat your head against the wall. And that's why, you know, I really enjoy what I do, because I enjoy working with those people and helping them, you know, find that transition in their business and that gap that exists between where they are and where they want to go and how to fill that quickly, right? And so sometimes it's just about realizing the situation that they're in, and they're thinking, well, how the heck did everybody else do it? Well, they didn't do it beating their head against the wall like you're doing right now. You got to think smarter, right? We got to move outside this envelope and approach it from a different perspective. And so, yeah, absolutely. It's different skill sets that are involved. And I think somebody that talks about that a lot is Rich Sheffern in his business growth system, really goes into that and how the skill sets evolve as you progress through the levels of business.
Maybe in the tail end, I mean, having worked with different people, have obviously grown your own business, done a lot of study, there would have been a few of those sort of aha moments that you've identified that people have had, or even yourself, that's helped you move through to that next level. Like, I mean, I don't know if you look back now, if there's any things that you kind of go, that was one of the moments or the things when I took that step, it helped shift my mindset and move me to the next level.
You know, I don't know that I can really point back any definitive things like that. It's a progression for me. I feel that one of the things, and it comes from Tony Robbins, that he talks about, you know, your business development or your business growth, will follow your personal development. And I've always believed that, and I've always practiced that. I think the more that we're able to look into our own personal growth, the more we're able to look into our own fears, our own comfort zone, and why we're afraid to branch out of that, etc., that the more our businesses are impacted and by that. It's kind of interesting, but having gone through this relatively quickly in the industry, there were a lot of people that I, you know, identified with, big names, or if I just meet this guy and could get some time with him and do this, I know I could go here or I could go there. And what was really interesting is that never really came to be true. And I met most every one of those people and worked with most every one of them. And it's not that any of them were a letdown. It's not that at all. It's just that at the end of the day, it comes down to either do it or don't do it. Right? We tend to think that it's the lack of information or the lack of the right relationships, but we all have the power to create those relationships. We just have to take the action. We all have the power to make that happen. And so at the end of the day, it's really about personal development. It's about reaching out. It's about making those connections. It's about being willing to do what nobody else is doing. It's about engaging with people. It's, you know, when you see somebody like an engaging post that was meant to stir stuff up, it's about reaching out to them and sending them a message on Facebook and say, hey, I saw your comment. What's up? And engaging and reaching out and creating that opportunity. Because I think that many people think they're waiting for that opportunity to knock. And we've got to create those opportunities. I firmly believe the universe rewards action. The action takers, you know, the actions may not always go in the direction you want them to go. But if you don't put some action in motion, then, you know, how can you sit back and say you're not getting what you deserve? Because honestly, you are. Every single one of us are being paid what we're worth. Whether we realize that or not, we're getting exactly what we deserve, and we're getting paid the exact amount that we command in the industry. So it's about stepping up and commanding more and asserting more and providing more value.
It's funny, you mentioned one thing that kind of felt like you touched it on at a couple of points as you were kind of explaining that journey. And one element that rose to me is this relationships thing, which seems really key and central to what you do and even your success. I mean, you talked about, you know, when you did sort of start chatting with some of these other, you know, industry experts and even the relationship that you have in with clients as well. For me, listening to hear you talk, looking from the outside in, it feels like that is one of those real key things that you might have, whether or not consciously or unconsciously, discovered. It sounds like, I mean, you're a very, very good networker, and it seems like it's played a key part.
Yeah, it has played a key part, but it's funny because I'm actually not an extrovert. I'm really an introvert. So it's something that I've had to kind of force myself into. But just as an example, a good friend of mine, Ryan Lee, is somebody that relationship built over time. And it built by me identifying somebody that I liked his message. I liked kind of his approach. And so I went about it the way that I knew to go about it. And that was paying my way in. First of all, I attended one of his events. I saw an event that he had coming up that was a small event. It was a small venue. And I said, okay, that's the one I want to go at, because there's only 30 people in the room. And so I jumped on it when the opportunity came. And then I was just very methodical in how I positioned myself within that event. I sat up in the front. I got there early. I found ways to kind of interject in the conversation. I found ways to contribute without stepping on the toes of anybody, even though at the particular event, I was by far more knowledgeable in SEO than the person that was speaking about SEO. But I didn't, you know, contribute in a way that would attack him. I just added some, you know, things that actually built him up, and I did it in a constructive way, but I also did it in a way that positioned me. And so just very methodical and just built a relationship. I did a whole bunch after that. I kind of struck a little bit of a friendship with Ryan, attended some other events, offered to do some free webinars for him. And I did a whole bunch of just give and providing value first, with really the intention of just building a relationship, not knowing really where it would go or not go. And it turned into multiple speaking engagements and introductions and all types of things like that. But that was really not my ulterior motive. It was a strategy, sure, but I was okay if it didn't develop either. It was about, you know, providing value and being around an influencer and being able to contribute to that, because I think so many people think that these guys are untouchable, and they're not. Not any of them are. The fact of the matter is, though, they're not looking for somebody to pick their brain, right? They're looking for somebody to help out. And so I just found ways that I could help out, and that turned into a very critical or pivotal way of building relationships for me. So I did that with a lot of different people. Ryan's just one guy whose name I'm comfortable releasing in that sense, because, you know, we're good friends and have been for a few years now. So,
yeah, very cool. I mean, I think you got such a rich sort of background and knowledge source. You can draw on a lot of topics here, and I feel like we could potentially have, you know, two and three podcasts beyond this just to cover all of the different things. I mean, if people want to do their own research and dig into a little bit more about your story, Troy, I mean, they can head over to topmarketingstrategies.com and sign up and check out the podcast and things like that. Is there anywhere else you'd point them to find out a bit more about what you do?
That's the best way. There's some good articles there on me. The About page on us has got some pointers to some very personal articles and stuff that I've written and stuff. So, yeah, people can get a lot right off the Top Marketing Strategy site. That's our main core site. So,
excellent. And depending on when you're listening to this podcast as well, Troy will be speaking at Dory's event, as will I. So if you haven't got a ticket, check out the SEO Rockstars Encore. Just Google it, it'll come up. But that might be another way to meet Troy in person. So, Troy, we'll just wrap up there. Thank you so much for your time. You've been very generous, and I very much appreciate it, and looking forward to meeting you in person.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been an honor. I enjoy hanging out with you, and it'll be fun to get to meet you in person for sure. So thanks again.
Just listen to another podcast interview. For more smart marketing ideas, visit www.melbourneseoservices.com. Disconnecting you in 3, 2, 1. All right.